Do you notice a huge difference in the movies and video games we had in the 2000s compared to what we have now? When you look back on Bradley Cooper saying, "Paging Dr. Faggot" in Hangover, or Robert Downey Jr. dressing up in blackface in Tropic Thunder, or the No Russian mission from Modern Warfare 2, or the fact that Fallout 3 had a mission where you sold child slaves, is it safe to say we live in a coddled, politically correct, pussified era? My wife sent me a Facebook page that I thought was a joke, and it's not. The page declares, "Boys can be princesses too." Here's another TikTok my wife sent me of some allegedly straight high school boys doing a choreographed dance in their midriffs. Where are these guys' dads? This kind of stuff only happens when you never got your ass beat with a belt. So the pussification of our culture today and the fact that every TV show and movie is now incredibly bland are all actually related. And I think it's because we have prioritized people's feelings over reality. If Bradley Cooper's character from The Hangover saw these kids doing this TikTok dance today, he would absolutely roast them within an inch of their life. And this is how things are supposed to be. But the problem is, nobody is being honest anymore. We have boys asking to be princesses now, and there's no man in the family with balls enough to say, "Knock it off, son, that's fucking gay." All of the media we have now is safe and sanitized, and this is one of the reasons we have a generation of pussified men. So in this video, I want to explain how a departure from reality is the reason that movies and video games have become so bad. Modern media avoids anything controversial. Everything has to be safe and sanitized and politically correct now, and this is doing damage to our culture. I'm going to hit you with a Tolkien quote that sums this up. He said, "The storymaker proves a successful sub-creator. He makes a secondary world which your mind can enter. Inside it, what he relates is, quote, true. It accords with the laws of that world. You therefore believe it while you are, as it were, inside. The moment disbelief arises, the spell is broken. The magic, or rather the art, has failed." Think about the game Dustborn and compare it with a game like GTA 5. While both games can be exaggerated and silly at times, GTA 5 captures enough of life as it is that it still rings true. GTA 5 creates a world we still recognize and can relate to, but Dustborn created a world that was unrecognizable to the people who played it. It created a silly and unrelatable world that only existed in the head of its weird Norwegian creator, who was paid by the government to make it. And that's why it failed. So for the rest of this video, I want to give you examples of this in modern media, and then later on we can ask together, why has this happened and what might we do about it? So the first example I want to give of games being sanitized and no longer reflecting reality is Dragon Age Veilguard, which is a game that just came out yesterday. So the company that made this game and Mass Effect is BioWare, and Mass Effect 2 came out in 2010. They had this morality system in the game where you could choose Renegade or Paragon choices. In the example on screen here, you have the choice to spare this guy's life or kick him off the platform and essentially kill him for no reason. And this is what good RPGs are about. You can be good, you can be bad, you can be anything you want in a good RPG. But a lot of people are saying in the new woke Dragon Age game that came out that the game designers make it almost impossible for you to be bad or rude or an asshole. Here the player selects the option, "Just listen, you idiot," and the dialogue that comes out is, "Are you kidding me?" Like, why? Why are games in 2024 so obsessed with making everything so safe and sanitized and bland? Oh right, because a bunch of butthurt trans people are making the games, I forgot. In another ridiculous example from Veilguard, the player is given a sermon about trans people in which they are told that they must atone for their crimes of misgendering someone. A true RPG would let me kick this lady down a well, or put a bullet in her head, or whatever. RPGs are not about projecting your morality on the gamer. RPGs are about letting the gamer do what they want. Just like in this game, just like in GTA, just like in all game. Starfield. I was initially excited about Starfield, and there's a few quest lines like the Vanguard quest that are pretty good, and the game lets you board enemy ships and steal them, which I thought was pretty fun. But the more I played the game, the more I thought, why do I not care about this world or any of the people in it? I think it's because Starfield is a safe, sanitized universe filled with what some people call toxic positivity. Just look at the way that two of the main companions in the game, Barrett and Sam Coe, smile at you constantly. This demeanor of theirs never really changes for the entire game. No matter what you want to do, they're down for it. no matter where you're going, they always have some cute little inoffensive quip and funny comment about it. The companions in this game have no beliefs of their own. They have no edges. They have no perspective of their own. They just exist to be a sort of blank canvas for you. And even worse, they will go heterosexual or bisexual for you depending on what you are looking for. It's pretty pathetic, actually. And when I realized this, it just kind of put a depressing pall over the entire game. This game was clearly made safe and sanitized by some DEI department full of progressives who wanted to create life as they would like it to be rather than life as it is. I never saw racism in this game. I never saw evil. I never saw cruelty. But I also never saw goodness. I never saw true virtue. I never saw sacrifice or beauty either. What people often say is that a game made for everybody is a game made for nobody, and that definitely applies to Starfield here. I can just feel the DEI hires coming through the screen and all the diversity consultants that worked on this game to sand it down and make it as inoffensive as possible. As Tolkien says, the game shattered the illusion. The game no longer lined up with reality anymore, and so I lost interest in it. Let's compare the companions in Starfield to another Bethesda game from 2010, the ex-military sniper with PTSD, Boone. Boone is an asshole. He has a perspective and he doesn't care what you're doing. He's pissed that his wife is dead. The characters in Starfield are chummy and jokey and happy to go anywhere with you at any time. Boone says he'll only go with you somewhere if you find his wife's killer. Once he joins you, Boone's very presence creates problems sometimes. If he sees a Caesar's Legion soldier at any time, he starts shooting, which could make you fail a mission. The positive side of this is that the man is a crack shot and a huge asset in battle. Boone will only tell you about his past if you spend a significant portion of the main quest of the game with him, meaning it costs you something to learn Boone's backstory, and you can't learn everybody's in one playthrough like you can with Starfield. What you discover is a man haunted by the war crimes of his past, and his story has an epic conclusion. The funny thing about this is New Vegas' graphics are terrible in comparison to Starfield, and yet Boone is a character that feels more real than anybody in Starfield. He doesn't feel like an NPC in a video game that solely exists to be your pal. Fallout 3 is another Bethesda game that contained evil on a level you would never see in a safe, politically correct modern video game. There's a quest called Child Slaver where Eulogy Jones, the guy running Paradise Falls, sends you to capture and abduct a child to become a slave. Yes, that's right. There's another quest called Strictly Business where Eulogy Jones sends you out to put slave collars on all these people, basically to make them your slaves, obviously. If you do this, all the bad people in the game love you, but the downside is your karma goes way down and the good people in the game want nothing to do with you. This was something that Fallout 4 lacked, basically. The ability to be bad and all the bad people in the game like you, or be good and all the good people in the game liked you. So abducting a child and turning them into a child slave, this is obviously very controversial content, but see, Starfield contains nothing controversial at all. I agree, selling a child into slavery is pure evil, but the reality is that things like this actually exist in the real world, so why shouldn't they exist in a video game? To give you a few more examples from New Vegas, there's a mission where you can send a girl to her immediate death outside of the Boomer's territory. At the end of Arcade Ganon's companion quest, you have the ability to ignore all the nice things he's done for you and sell him into slavery. Caesar's Legion are the bad guys in the game, and you can join them. Now, why would I want to do any of these things? I don't know, but they exist in the world because the creators of New Vegas were really good at world building. And when you sanitize your world and you take out the edges and you make the entire game super politically correct, you end up with something retarded and sanitized and boring like Starfield. So let's jump into talking about movies for a minute. What we're really talking about here is filmmakers rejecting reality as it is and instead making movies about life how they wish it were. But for a movie to be effective and funny, it needs to be realistic. Let's watch this clip from The Hangover.
I just wish your friends were as mature as you.
They are mature, actually. You just have to get to know them better.
Paging Dr. Faggot! Dr. Faggot!
Why is this so funny? It's funny because it's offensive, it's not supposed to be said, and it also represents reality. If you've ever been on a bachelor trip, you know that this is how dudes talk to each other. They don't care about offending people. Now, liberal cuck Redditors will put their fingers in their ears and try to pretend that people like Bradley Cooper don't exist, but they do, and it's funny as hell. Tropic Thunder is another movie from the 2000s that couldn't get made today. Robert Downey Jr.'s character is a white guy playing a black guy in a fake movie, so he dresses up in blackface. The funniest scene might be when the actual black guy in the group calls Robert Downey the N-word. Instead of getting offended, Robert grabs him in a soulful embrace and says, "For 400 years, that word has kept us down," before beginning to sing Amazing Grace. This scene is simply hilarious, but would be deemed way too offensive for any movie today. People recently were asking Ben Stiller on Twitter if he regretted making Tropic Thunder because it's super offensive and funny. I was glad to see he said, "Nah, we're all very proud of it," silencing the troons and the haters with one word. My wife and I almost exclusively watch movies from the 2000s, and I always notice how offensive they would be by today's standards. We were recently watching The Hot Chick, a movie in which Rob Schneider is inhabited by the soul of a woman because of an artifact some girls find at the mall. The movie is mostly just Rob Schneider acting gay, and it's pretty funny. At the end of the movie, my wife pointed out, "The movie is funny because the idea of a woman being trapped in a man's body is nonsense." The Hot Chick openly mocks the entire transgender movement and lets us laugh at them, because it's stupid to think that a man can be a woman. If you think you were born the wrong gender, you simply have an undiagnosed mental illness, and I hope you get help with that, and I hope you find Jesus. Another movie that definitely couldn't get made today is 2003's Bringing Down the House, starring Queen Latifah and Steve Martin. Steve Martin is a dad who lives in the suburbs and recently got a divorce, so he strikes up an online romance with a woman who he believes to be thin and white. Imagine his surprise when the woman who shows up on his doorstep does not match the pictures and is instead a large black ex-convict. Steve Martin also has a racist old white neighbor who ups the hilarity to another level. What ensues in the movie is a mashing together of two cultures: the black ghetto culture that Queen Latifah is from and the buttoned-up white suburban culture that Steve Martin is from. Steve Martin's Jewish associate Eugene Levy is obsessed with Queen Latifah and calls her things like, "Oh, my chocolate princess." This movie is so good because it accurately shows white people being uptight white people, and it shows Queen Latifah acting like certain segments of the African-American population act. And everybody knows this, guys, and everybody accepts this. And people keep acting like things are different than they are, but the more we deny reality, the worse the comedy and the worse the movies are gonna get. This movie works because it's accurate to real life. It lines up with reality, and that's why it's so funny. To go back to Tolkien and my point about good art always mirroring reality, Bringing Down the House is a timeless movie that is still funny today because it's grounded in reality and doesn't shy away from controversial topics. You even see this kind of thing in GTA 5. You might say Franklin is the good, upstanding, responsible black dude who has his shit together. Then you have Lamar, who is one of my favorite characters in the game, and the dude is wiling out and acting crazy all the time. I love GTA 5 so much because it depicts reality. I knew guys like Lamar in high school, and they are hilarious, and the game sort of gave me a chance to hang out with people like him. I also knew guys like Franklin, but let's be honest, Lamar is way funnier than Franklin. So we see this aversion towards reality in every leftist and progressive game that comes out. The recent character creator in Dragon Age, the Failguard, only lets you make a woman's breast size and her butt size very, very small. I would argue at least 60% of women have bigger butts and breasts than in the character creator, so the game has intentionally rejected reality. What I hope you're starting to realize is that the progressive folks who make video games hate reality. They hate life as it is. They want to create a new reality, free from good and evil and controversial subjects. They want to create the sanitized utopia of Starfield or Dustborn, but in so doing, they create a meaningless and boring game because it no longer lines up with real life. Essentially, they want to create a world where nobody's feelings can get hurt, but sadly, that isn't the world that exists. The biggest example of them hating reality is, of course, hating the gender that God assigned them at birth. Many people in the video game community are trans or non-binary and want to change their sex. And like I've said again, they hate reality, they hate science, but reality exists for a reason, and science is real. All right, guys, so I've attempted to show you the rejection of reality by artists, designers, programmers, directors, and all the people who make the media and shows we consume today. And it's a coordinated attack, and it's happening because these people, like I've said, fundamentally hate reality. The longer they continue down this path, they will lose all their jobs because the stuff they are creating doesn't resonate with people anymore. So just to end on a positive note here, what can creators do to more closely mirror reality and create worlds that Tolkien would be proud of? I have a few ideas. Number one, tell timeless stories of good and evil that are grounded in masculine and feminine experiences. I saw a funny meme that said that any guy on Earth would leave their desk job this second if they were called to fight as a Templar in the Crusades. This is because every man has deep within them a desire to fight for that which is good. Women don't have that as strongly as we do. This is why, in history, it's always the men who lay our lives down for our wives and our children, because we were made this way. Any game that can tap into this is going to sell millions of copies. Look at Last of Us 1, look at Helldivers 2, look at Space Marine 2, all sold really, really well this year. Timeless masculine stories of Giga Chads being brave will always sell. It's like crack cocaine for men, it's what we live for. This is why people love Sam Fisher and Nathan Drake and Ezio and Edward Kenway. Sure, Lara Croft is a fine character, but she mostly exists from dudes looking at her breasts, let's be honest. Media directed at men, so superhero movies, Star Wars movies, video games, they would all be 10 times more successful than they are if they could just do this stuff right here. But they won't, because gay, homosexual retards run the industry. Number two. Reality is funny. Let it be funny. The episode Gay Witch Hunt from The Office is one of my favorite episodes of all time. It contains lines from Michael saying things to Oscar the gay guy like, maybe sometime you could show me how you do that to another dude. The Office is so good because it's real. We all know people like Dwight. We all know people like Michael. Everybody's skin crawls when Michael says something awkward in the group. Shane Gillis and Dave Chappelle are some of the only comedians really killing it right now because they are actually saying what everybody is thinking. They are being truthful. They don't care whose feelings get hurt because your feelings don't matter. Number three, reject DEI, reject ESG. Hire people based on merit alone. Almost everyone agrees that Fallout 3 and Skyrim are way better games than Starfield. And yet Skyrim had a team of 100 people and was made in 3 years, whereas Starfield had a team of 250 people and was made in 8 years. How could something with more people working on it be objectively worse? And I'll tell you, they hired women. Well, it's not quite that simple, but they hired quite a lot of DEI hires. DEI hires are people who are underqualified and are given a position because they're black, a woman, gay, or for some other silly reason. These new people come in and have no idea what they're doing, and they honestly just distract the 100 dudes who were making a perfectly good game before they even came in. A lot of the bad creative direction comes from these DEI hires. A lot of bad ideas come from these DEI hires. But then you have huge billion-dollar government grants that are being doled out based on your ability to promote underqualified women and gay people, and you begin to notice a quality decline in your game. This is exactly what happened with Starfield and why the game ended up being such slop. Like I explained earlier, Starfield is a completely inoffensive game. There's nothing interesting about it. There's nothing unique about it. The characters and the dialogue in the game are very, very boring, and this is because you have a committee of diverse people making the game. So anything that could have made the game interesting or edgy gets sanded down or gets removed. What they should have done is just put 100 normal dudes in a room who are able to concentrate now because there's no women around and just churn out Fallout 5. But of course, that isn't what happened and we got the gay slop of Starfield. Anyway guys, whether you are a YouTuber or a gamer or whatever you do, please support good games and good art. Support games that capture reality. Games that are designed to be propaganda and utopias in places where nobody's feelings ever get hurt are bad games, they're bad movies, and they're bad art. All right, I'm out. Also, to the guy who keeps sending me Actman impressions, never stop.
What's up, everybody? It's the Actman here, and I want to let everyone know that I am against woke stuff. Remember? I made a video once, like 8 years ago, where I talked about how I didn't like people calling The Legend of Zelda gay. Remember? That video I made before I had all this money?